WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.
This is WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you how amazing classical music is. You probably listen to classical music all the time. It's everywhere. In your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies, video games, and so much more. During this show, you will enjoy lots and lots of wonderful classical music. Now, let's join our hosts, Jamie and Pamela, as they get ready to take you on a musical journey into the world of classical music. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
Good morning, Pamela. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jamie. Before we start, I want to make sure to thank our generous sponsors. Thank you to the Carter Family Charitable Trust, who are sponsoring this entire series. And this week, thank you to Craig and Kari Shapiro, who have generously sponsored this week's broadcast.
I am so excited. Christmas will be here in just 2 weeks.
I know. And to celebrate, tonight and tomorrow, the Newport Music Festival is performing a wonderful Christmas concert for families. It's at St. Mary's Church in Newport. And so that families can enjoy beautiful Christmas music together, tickets for children are just $5 and just $25 for adults.
I can't wait.
There's going to be a fun sing-along and a special visit, too.
Wow. Just in case someone doesn't have their tickets yet, go to newportmusic.org and get them online.
In the meantime, this morning we're presenting one of the best Christmas stories ever, The Nutcracker.
Well, I've heard a lot of music from The Nutcracker, but I don't really know the story.
Then this program is perfect for you, Jamie. We are going to play a wonderful recording that's narrated by Anne Racklin, so you get to hear the music and the story at the same time.
Wow, just what I always wanted.
I can't wait. Here we go.
The house was a blaze of lights. Through the window, you could see the decorations and the twinkling lights on the giant Christmas tree. Inside the splendid mansion, the servants were bustling to and fro, putting the last touches to the beautiful settings on the dining table. Upstairs in the nursery, three excited children simply could not keep still.
"Hurry, nurse! Oh, do hurry!" squealed Clara. "They'll be here soon and I won't be ready."
"If you would just stand quietly for a moment, Miss Clara," retorted her nurse, "I could tie this bow and then you could be off." Louisa, Clara and Fritz fidgeted and fiddled, but finally the three children hurried downstairs to find the guests arriving. In the clear, frosty night, the sleigh bells tinkled melodiously as the drivers pulled the steaming horses up at the entrance to the house. Out jumped the guests, crunching through the crisp snow and calling merry greetings to each other in high good humor. Once inside, the servants helped them to remove their heavy fur coats and cloaks, revealing their splendid party clothes. Drawing room, the children chatted excitedly as the little girls admired each other's long white muslin dresses and coloured sashes, while the boys stood looking on. As was the custom in wealthy families at the time, the boys were all dressed in elegant velvet suits trimmed with lace collars and cuffs. "Come and see the Christmas tree," cried Louisa. And all the children followed and stood gazing at it wide-eyed. No one had ever seen such a magnificent tree. The base of the giant fir tree could not be seen at all, for it was completely covered with brightly wrapped presents. You can imagine how hard the children tried to make out the labels so they would know in advance which of the marvelous gifts would soon be theirs. "I think
that big red box is mine, cried Fritz. No, it's not, it's mine, argued Clara. Children, children, calm down. You're making too much noise. Anyway, look, Herr Drosselmeier is arriving. At the sound of his name, all the children rushed to the door. Herr Drosselmeier was an old friend of the family and much loved by the children, for he always brought the most fascinating presents and could perform the most intriguing conjuring tricks. There he was, staggering through the door, his arms laden with packages and gifts, wrapped in gaily coloured paper and tied with ribbons. Squealing with excitement, the children danced round him. One by one, the gifts were handed out. Shrieking with delight, each child opened the package. A doll? A drum? A clockwork soldier? Turning to Clara, Herr Drosselmeier said, "And this is for my little Clara." Clara was his goddaughter, and Herr Drosselmeier always brought her something particularly delightful. She was his favorite. Eagerly, the little girl took the package and thanked the old man politely. In a moment, she whipped off the wrapping, and there was a most magnificent nutcracker in the shape of a soldier wearing a brilliant uniform with a feather plume in his helmet. Oh, Godfather, thank you, said Clara. He must be the most handsome soldier in the whole world. But Fritz was jealous. As the guests were going into dinner, he snatched the nutcracker from Clara's hands and jumped on it. When Clara saw her handsome soldier in pieces, she burst into sobs and tears. Her noisy weeping brought their parents hurrying back into the room. Ashamed of his squabbling children, Dr. Stahlbaum spanked Fritz. "Now, now," said Herr Drosselmeier, "it's just too much excitement. No harm done." And to everyone's amazement, he picked up the broken nutcracker and miraculously mended it. "There you are, Clara," he said, handing the nutcracker back to the little girl. "Wipe your tears. Now he's as good as new." Was soon forgotten as the grandparents arrived and the party got underway. It was quite late when the dancing ended, and now the children were all very sleepy. Indeed, Clara had fallen asleep in a chair, so Nurse picked her up and carried her upstairs to bed. The guests began to leave, waving goodbye to their hosts as they climbed into their carriages. Herr Drosselmeier was the last to go. Passing the chair where Clara had been sleeping, he spotted the nutcracker and, picking it up carefully,
he laid it at the foot of the Christmas tree. After saying goodbye to Dr. and Mrs. Stahlbaum, the mysterious old man left. Clara slept for a while. She woke to find the house quiet and dark. She reached for her nutcracker, but it wasn't there. She remembered leaving it on the chair. She was determined to fetch it. She crept to the head of the stairs and stealthily felt her way down to the drawing room. Clara had never been alone downstairs in the dark. It was really spooky. Holding her long nightie up, she opened the heavy oak door carefully and slipped into the drawing room. The only light in the room came from a few dying embers in the huge fireplace. Clara tried to find her nutcracker. Ah, there it is, she exclaimed, as she spied it under the tree. As she bent down to pick it up, she was startled by the striking of the grandfather clock. It was midnight. Clara was very frightened, and as she turned towards the clock, she thought she saw Herr Drosselmeier's face looking at her. But a moment later, it had disappeared. Shivering a little, Clara knelt down when two mice ran out from the shadows and began to sniff at her. Horrified, she scrambled to her feet and was just about to pick up the nutcracker when, to her amazement, he stood up by himself and bowed. As the nutcracker raised his arm with a flourish, the room became lighter, and the Christmas tree began to grow. It was enormous. Clara stared in wonder, and when she turned to look at the nutcracker, she found, to her surprise, that she was staring up into his smiling face. Why, he had grown taller than she was. A horrid sound of squealing made Clara jump, and she was horrified to see an army of rats approaching. Leading them was a monstrous giant of a rat with a crown on his head. Terrified, Clara jumped up into a large velvet armchair and huddled down, tucking her feet under her nightie. Or was it her nightie? It seemed to be a silken party gown. Now at her feet, Clara heard a strange click-clacking noise. It came from Fritz's box of toy soldiers. She watched in astonishment as the lid of the box flew open and the toy army emerged. By the Nutcracker, the soldiers attacked the rats. Soon, both armies were engaged in a fearful battle. Seemed to be losing, and Clara watched in horror as the Rat King lashed out ferociously at the Nutcracker, who fought desperately to avoid his hideous teeth and claws. And jumped off the chair to help. She shivered as the furry rats scurried around her, squeaking horribly. In a fury, she pulled off her slipper and threw it at the Rat King, hitting him right on the nose. He fell to the ground. The spell was broken, and the rats disappeared, defeated.
Ooh, that was a big fight.
Yes, but now Clara is safe, and she begins a beautiful enchanted journey.
Here we go.
The Nutcracker stooped to pick up Clara's slipper. As his fingers grasped it, he was changed into the most handsome prince, clad in sparkling white and silver. Clara dazzled. She looked at her own dress. It was a shimmering silver gown, just like the one worn by the fairy princess in her favorite storybook. As she looked at the Nutcracker Prince, he stared back at her, and they fell in love in that very second. "Thank you for saving my life, fair princess," said the prince. "Now you shall come with me on a magic journey to the sparkling kingdom of sweets," he declared. The walls of the room disappeared, and Clara found she was gazing at the most enchanting winter scene. Snow-covered hills and shining fir trees glistened in the moonlight. Clara recognized her own Christmas tree, grown huge. Its branches were bowed down by the weight of the snow they carried. Appeared to carry Clara and the prince away to his kingdom. Snowflake fairies fluttered and frolicked as the magic carriage floated through the falling snow. Snow fairies far behind. Now Clara and the prince were floating on a pink sea. Their boat was made of chocolate marzipan, and when Clara dipped her fingers into the water and licked them, It tasted of cherry. In the distance, she could see a beautiful island glinting and gleaming in the sun. Soft breezes smelling of chocolate wafted them towards it. As they approached the island, the boat drifted through a dark grotto. Clara clung to her prince for safety. The prince put his arm round her to protect her. Ahead they could see the sun shining, and then there they were, landing on the island. The Kingdom of Sweets. It had been a busy day in the prince's kingdom. Everyone knew that Clara was expected, and everybody was helping to prepare a great party in her honour. The Sugar Plum Fairy was in charge. Seated on her throne in her palace, she too was busy supervising the army of helpers. The palace was made of spun sugar and icing, and decorated with candies and sweets of every kind. As the Sugar Plum Fairy waved her wand, in came a procession of cooks and bakers, their trays laden with delicious cakes and sweets. The Sugar Plum Fairy stood up, stepped delicately from her throne, and inspected them all. "You have done well," she said, congratulating the cooks. "But now I believe our guests have arrived. Bring them here." It had been a mouth-watering journey to the Sugar Plum Fairy's palace. Clara and the prince had strolled hand in hand through a toffee and licorice forest. Then they had crossed over Gingerbread Bridge, spanning the Lemonade River, running through the palace garden. Milkshake ponds and cola fountains bordered the barley sugar path, which had finally brought them to the palace gate. There, the Sugar Plum Fairy embraced Clara and the prince, welcoming them lovingly, and they all sat down to a memorable feast. When it was over, the Sugar Plum Fairy bade Clara sit on her throne to watch a special entertainment that had been prepared for her. "It is all in your honour, my dear," said the Sugar Plum Fairy. "We hope you will enjoy it." Wide-eyed with wonder, Clara watched the performance. It began with two dances, one plain chocolate and the other milk. They danced a magnificent Spanish pasodoble, their feet beating out the rhythm at a breathtaking pace. Bravo, cried the prince and Clara. The mysterious strains of Eastern melodies announced the appearance of two Arabian dancers who approached Clara's throne and bowed deeply. They represented coffee sweets. Their dance was graceful and slow, with much swaying and undulating of their glistening bodies. At the end, the girl dancer offered her partner a cup of coffee, which she had cleverly balanced on her foot.
Thank you.
So exotic. Makes me want to take a trip.
Well, get ready, because now we go off to another part of the world with Clara.
I don't drink coffee, said Clara without thinking. Nurse only gives us weak tea. As if to answer her thought, two Chinese ladies entered, with a Mandarin gentleman, and a delightful tea dance was performed. Clara clapped her hands with delight. She had never seen such a wonderful show. It was not over yet. Three shepherdesses made of candy appeared and danced happily in front of Clara. To her astonishment, one of them looked exactly like her own favourite doll at home, and she stared in disbelief as she watched the three play on their reed pipes as they danced. Three Russian dancers leapt onto the floor now. They danced so wildly that Clara cried out, "Faster, faster!" as they whirled and kicked in front of her.
We'll be right back.
Russian dancers leaped away, Clara was amazed to see a fat old lady waddle onto the stage. Who can she be? Thought Clara. But as she looked more closely, she recognized the big candy dish from her mother's bureau. The old lady lifted her skirt, and a host of tiny sweets and almonds and raisins tumbled out and danced for Clara. Plum Fairy raised her hand. And now, to finish with, my own attendants will perform the famous Waltz of the Flowers for you, Clara. Long lines of pink and white maidens streamed out to fill the stage. Each one represented a delicate spun sugar and icing flower, just like those you see on wedding cakes. They were so beautiful that Clara held her breath as their dainty waltz enchanted her.
Thank you.
And now you must dance for us. It was the voice of the Sugar Plum Fairy. As in a dream, Clara found herself gazing into the eyes of the prince, who led her to the floor and began to whirl her round. "So fast," she whispered, but his arms held her tightly, and they whirled faster and faster. Away from him, the sound of the music fading into the distance. Everything came to a halt. Clara opened her eyes. It was morning. The sun was streaming through the window of the drawing room. She was curled up in the velvet chair with her nutcracker grasped tightly in her hand. The clock was ticking away in the corner, and the fire had gone out. She shivered and noticed she was in her nightie. It had all been a wonderful dream.
Wow, that was so fantastic, Pamela.
I loved it, too. Before we go, I just want to make sure that we thank our sponsors. Thank you again to the Carter Family Charitable Trust and Kari and Craig Shapiro.
See you next time, everyone.
Wow, that was so fun. I wonder what we'll hear next time. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Gotta go. The concert hall doors are about to close. See you next time.
WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.